Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Think for June 6, 2018. Man, every week that number, just the month goes up. It's later and later, and just I don't know. It feels weird to me. I'm just time. It's starting to become a weird thing. Anyway, normally we start with RFCs, and we have a couple of those to go over, but there are a couple of pull requests that I would like to go over that we opened up us folks over at Wallaloo Labs, where we were getting ready to upgrade to the 0.22 series, and we found a couple performance regressions, and we opened PRs for them. I'd like to get those merged today, so hopefully there's no objections, and then I can do a release tomorrow. So we could have 0.22.6, and that would be like our third release this week, because insanity. I'm going to start there, and then we're going to jump over to the RFCs. The first one would be 2751, dynamic scheduler scaling.
Yep.
I'm going to edit the title. Save, label, that would be fixed. I assume this one is pretty non-controversial.
Having a quick look.
Sean, do you have any information about how big these regressions were, or like on what kind of scale we are talking about? Like,
we have our there's the blog post that we wrote about at one point. We have our market spread app, right? Which is basically just testing what Wallaloo does with basically no application logic in it, right? The application logic is really low. When we did a multi-worker test where we're sending from one worker to another, these two things combined dropped the overall throughput that we were getting in this particular run of the test from about 480,000 messages a second to about 390,000 messages a second. And tail latencies grew from being in the four millisecond range to the 64 millisecond range across the two of these.
Okay.
The fun one is the one we're not looking at right now, which makes absolutely no sense if you look at it for why it has a impact, but it definitely does, I assume, through some sort of compiler optimization LLVM magic thing related to serialization. I do not know the impact of the of them individually.
Okay.
I do know that it was what Jonathan and Diffin reported back to me was, you know, that with both of these, with this set of changes from 2752 and from 2751 that it's back to our expected.
Oh, that's good.
So 2751, I think Dippin's right, and it looks like it's the change in memory address and memory accesses, because the short circuit guard kicks in before the memory access. That's very interesting. That should be small, but should be.
So it could, but you push the small thing over the course of a large number of operations passing through it, and
you have some fun.
And you get a little bit of queuing, and suddenly, yippee! Yeah. It's no longer small. Yeah.
Okay.
Like I was telling Sylvan earlier before the call started, my job now has basically made me where I'm at the point of where somebody's like, I'm always just like, yeah, if you're doing anything that's in a hot path, it needs to be tested, because you just don't know.
That's right.
I just don't know. All right. So are we good with
751, unless anyone disagrees?
No. Go ahead.
Boom, boom. All right. Then the really fun one, which was after they did that, there were still some performance related issues, and they eventually tracked it down to the commit, which was at 25.24, and there's a PR open to revert that as which is 27.52.
All right. So I was looking at this one earlier with Sean, and to say that I don't understand is a drastic understatement. I really don't see, short of some optimization that I don't understand, how this could be working. And the optimization, it looks like, should go in the opposite direction, which is to say, this change puts back in a virtual dispatch. And it should be faster with static dispatch. And I got nothing.
So what I would like to do is I would like to revert this, and we could get a release out with it. And if we want to, we can spend time trying to understand what the hell is going on. We do know, at least from what Jonathan saw, is that there is no difference with this without reverting this until you really start pushing it. And when we start pushing it, then we start to see it.
Right. Yeah.
So, and like by maximum, he means like this is getting called like 400,000 times a second maximum. Right. Yeah. And like when you start getting to that level, something is going on and you start to see performance degradation from it, where basically like it's like, instead of pushing it like 400,000 times, we're able to push it like 380,000 times. And right. What on earth is going on? Nobody knows.
Okay. Well,
because compilers, I don't know.
One thing that would be interesting to look at, I agree that we should go ahead and revert it, because, hey, you know, it's all right. It's fine. It clearly worked fine this way for a while. But one thing you might want to look at is the assembly that's being generated post-optimization, and see if you can see any differences.
Yeah, those can be a little hard to find based on the fact that it's a rather large, you know, thing there to try and find.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
The specific place that I would look at changes and see what's happening is in the object code for instantiations of serialized pony and serialized.c.
Yeah. And
maybe it's findable. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it would be great. I don't have time to do this, but it'd be great to like try and come up with something that looks like that. That's a minimal case for running through it again. But it's entirely possible that it has no impact in a normal case, and it's just an interaction with some other optimization.
Yep, that's true.
Right now, basically, what we have for real world performance testing stuff, which involves serialization, is Wallery. There's not really anything else right now.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think anybody else in the known universe is using PowerPoint serialization.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody could just slap an approved on that one whenever AppVar gets around to doing its thing, we can
Done.
We can I'll merge it. And I'll create a 0.22.6 that might get released today. Hey. All right. Let's jump over to RFCs. RFC, the PR is 117, remove HTTP standard HTTP libraries from the standard library.
I would like to vote yes 3 times.
Oh, that's kind of funny. Matthias, I think I brought you around to being on board, yes?
Yes, yes, yes. I vote yes.
Gordon?
Yeah, I vote yes.
Okay, so Matthias, I would like to propose something.
Based on
some of your concerns that were there, I think you should be the one to actually do this and set up the new repo, and you can put whatever sort of messaging that you want around it that you're comfortable with. I think that would make the most sense, right? Because you had concerns about how we message it to folks in this new repo and everything.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh God. Does anybody here have time to set up all the tracking, et cetera, and everything on this?
I can.
Awesome. Thank you. I will merge it and then you can do that because I do not. Okay. Boom. Goodbye. Goodbye, HTTP.
Oh God.
May many flowers hopefully
bloom.
Bloom, bloom. Thank you. I've been having word recall problems the last couple of days. Word recall. Okay. We have another one that's in final comment. Let's do that.
Aphasia.
PR 126, chained buffered reader line to return string ISO hat instead of string val. Let's see. Sean and Joe already upvoted this. So I'd say this is going through unless Gordon or Sylvan comes up with a reason for it not to.
I'm slightly worried that I was the one that made it return string val.
It was either you or Andy.
If it was me, I'm sorry. If it was Andy, he clearly was doing the right thing at the time.
Like I knew that the two of you wrote it. So at first I was really suspicious of this, and I spent more time on this tiny little change probably than I have on a lot of other things that deserve more time. Like the seg fault thing that was merged by me where Benoit added a seg fault accidentally and I was the one who reviewed it. And I sort of probably spent more time on that one now looking back at it. Spent a lot of time on this one. But anyway, blah, 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 et cetera. Yeah, okay. Gordon, you good with this too?
Yep.
Cool. And the great thing of this is actually this is a breaking change, isn't it?
Yes.
It is. That's sad.
Slightly.
Let me get 0.22.6 out before this gets merged.
Yes. Wait a minute.
What?
Okay. ISO hat is a subtype of val.
No, it's not a breaking change.
Cool.
Wait, awesome. I don't care when it happens.
Yeah.
I spent the weekend working on my Velocity San Jose talk and I got the word recall problem things and other brainy things. Sorry. Brainy things.
You're just really jamming that one home, aren't you?
Brainy things. Hey, how do I pronounce that? Is that Patroclos? Is that the correct pronunciation?
It's fine.
Okay, close enough. All right, I'll go for close enough for hand grenades and nuclear weapons for my pronunciation. Awesome. Anyway, so we have a draft RFC for SSL. I guess it's pronounced Alpen. I don't know. Again, brain problems. 127. Let's take a look at 127.
Getting there.
I think this is a great RFC. This is Patroclos's first RFC and
hey, fantastic.
And it is it, I was really impressed by just the quality of the RFC, especially based on it being a first time one. I think I mentioned that somewhere in the thing. Oh no, all I said was this looks good, which what that meant was I'm really impressed with the quality of this RFC, especially given how it's a first time one. So great, just great job. Great job.
Oh,
And unless anybody has any any objection, I would say we move it to final comment period at this time.
Yes, please.
So we go to the next week.
Yes.
Yep, sounds good.
And okay, so Patrick was, if you could, Matthias, could you send the email for that to the dev list as well?
Yes. On that? Yes. I do the RC bookkeeping today.
Okay, I will. I'm gonna add it right now to the. Oh no, no. Okay, I'll let you do that too. If I can't come up with the words. Yeah.
Your okay. Brain is telling you something. Yeah.
It
tries to.
I'm
go away.
I'm going to miss sync next week because I will be when it starts. I will be in the conclusion of John Mumm's talk at Velocity. It's great. He's doing why local knowledge is important to writing fast systems, and then I'm going to be doing the Pat Helen talk the next day. So it's just kind of boom, boom. People should go to both. Not that that matters for anyone here. Anyway, so I was saying all that because I just gave my thumbs up to this for when voting comes.
Okay.
When voting comes.
Finishing going through this. This is excellent.
So this 116, Matthias? Right?
Yes, so we can close it?
We can close it, but you could make that change as part of the move. Because yes. it won't be in the standard library anymore. It doesn't need an RFC.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Closing as this is, as HTTP is being removed from standard library. Any changes can be made in new repo without having to go through RFC, which that's my biggest reason more than anything else. Be there, a thousand things can bloom, and if people want to, they can modify away at that HTTP one without having to go through RFC, because I think that there's a lot of iteration, et cetera, that needs to happen on that. Matthias, what's up with 125? Sylvan, have you taken a look at that? I haven't. Add operators for partial integer arithmetic?
Yeah. So it's the super nice topic that always comes up on Hacker News or Reddit. Like always.
Oh, no.
Yes. Matthias, I don't like it.
Matthias is really into making the Hacker News people be quiet.
Yes. Just shut up already. Yeah.
I understand why people freak out over it, but yeah.
So I know it's controversial. So it would basically add a separate operators with the standard operators like plus with a suffix with a question mark.
So why do we need addition question mark? When would that happen?
It would throw on overflow.
Yeah. Like.
Love this. I love this. It gives a way to people to choose.
Yes. So we basically have four different ways to do basic arithmetic.
Yes. When you put it that way, I'm not so much in favor of it anymore.
No, it's a good thing.
You had me on your side.
No. Look, Matthias is right. What we're doing is, with this change, it means we're getting closer to covering all the ways that a CPU actually does arithmetic.
Yeah.
It does.
It was well put, Sylvan. It was mostly a joke. So are we good with this going to the final comment period?
Yes, please.
Okay, Ed, I left my vote for next week on it already. All right.
Cool.
I'm definitely in favor of this. I mean, the thing I've told people is, well, you can add your own primitive to do this, you know, but overflow, yeah, it'd be much better for it to be built in. Okay. Yeah.
Also, in the context of this, We may want to revisit the name we have used for the unsafe version of arithmetic operators. Because they are not, in fact, unsafe.
Could you drop a note to that effect on there?
Yep.
Cool. Well, we already use this syntax for custom operators that are partial.
Oh, yeah, the syntax is, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, the syntax is good. Sorry, I just meant on for the other ones, for the twiddle versions of these things. Yeah. We use the term, we call it add unsafe, and just in terms of this RFC is really nice. It lays out that it's add checked, add unchecked, add unsafe, and add partial, which is great, except that it reminds me that unsafe is perhaps not quite right. True, but not quite right.
Okay, good. So, okay, noted. Next one? Yes? 124, I believe we basically put a pin in this. Weren't you part of a long conversation that we had on this with Benoit and folks, Sylvan?
Sorry, just writing a comment. We'll listen properly in just a second.
I don't remember what happened with 124. I feel like we were waiting for Benoit to do something. But I know you were part of that conversation.
My apologies. 124?
Yes. Trust boundary specification.
Ah, yes.
I don't remember what happened with this. Was it Benoit was going to do something and change it? Was it this was no? I don't remember.
So, my version of this is that I don't like this.
Right. Okay, yeah. We put a pin in this, right? Where
yeah. And we need to come back to this and discuss this more with Benoit and Joe. Because just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's the wrong thing to do. But I do not like it.
Yeah. Okay. So we're gonna, that's good. I just wanted to remember because it was there. I couldn't remember. I knew that you were part of that conversation.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
had come up with something. Okay. So 123. 123, this is from Joe. I don't know if you were part of these conversations, Sylvan, or not. Mm-hmm. I think it was basically, it came down to everybody was like, yes, we like this idea. I think you were part of those. We need to come up with somebody needs to decide whether we're adding a new keyword or not for this. But I feel like this could go to final. We could.
Okay.
Weren't you part of this conversation, Sylvan?
Yeah.
Yep. So I could prod Joe to move this to final comment. Yeah.
Okay. So it's about extracting interfaces from existing types.
Yeah, so it's the variant and the covariant version of an interface.
Hey, Paul.
As an interface. Hey.
Yeah. So I have a question. Can you do this for a non-generic type? For example, let's say you have some type. It's not a generic type. And you want to say... type is type.
It depends on, do we allow this for, is it actually an interface or is it like an interface but the name has to match? Which is kind of one of the unresolved questions in there.
I think it should absolutely strictly be an interface, not and nothing else, because that way you get to do things like trivially extract a read-seek interface from array.
Yeah, so I see the point of this, but what bothers me with this is that it's confusing two features, which is getting the variant and covariant version of something and getting the interface of something. And that's what your question brings up, is like, does it make sense for non-
Right?
Well,
so that's what I'm saying is, if when we say type is something, and we're declaring a type alias, we're not saying that we're doing extraction, but this is doing both extraction and co and contravariant replacement. Or yeah. Rather, no, not co and contravariant replacement. It's doing exactly what Gilad Braca's thesis says you should do with traits, which is to allow exclusion. So it's doing exclusion in a statically typed way. I think it's good. But I think we need a different keyword than type. Because if we have a different keyword than type, then we can say we're about to extract an interface. Here's the name of the interface we're extracting, and here's how we're extracting it. Does that make
yeah,
sense?
Yeah, so, yeah, it definitely makes sense. What I had in mind was to have two different features, one which is like declare an interface that is extracted from a type,
uh-huh.
And a separate feature, which is if you say plus type, then that is the variant version of a type, covariant version of a type. You say minus, the other one is a contravariant, or the other way around. And then uh-huh. What you would do if you want to, like the readsec of array, you would do like interface readsec is extracted from plus array or minus array. And you would combine these two features to get like the full thing. But you would, but if you did just plus array.
Wait a minute, but it would be array, because what, array plus A?
Yeah, sorry. So you'd have like readsec A is extracted from array plus A.
Right.
But the type array plus A would be like a valid thing to use somewhere else. And yeah, in that case, it has to be an array.
I agree, but, and then it has to be an array? But
if you use it together with the feature that lets you extract the interface out of that type,
uh-huh.
Then you can build that interface that has the same methods and all that as the concrete type. Basically, these two features together allow to do what you suggest, which is an interface based on the type.
But what they don't let you do then is have... I guess, can you say... I don't see a syntax for what the interface from T looks like.
Well, it's pretty much what you said, like interface foo, I don't know, is from a keyword? No, for, it's for a keyword?
Interface
foo for something. And that would create the extracted interface of that type.
So here's what I'm wondering, is if we do it in that order, then what we can't do is embed the type where it's used. We have to declare it. So we can't say the parameter A has the type the interface of some concrete type is not generic.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
we could do it for generic types. We could say type A parameter A has the type array plus U32. I'm making crap up. That's clearly a useless type, but you know what I mean. And it would be nice if we had symmetry there where you could do that for both generic and non-generic types in that position.
No, but if you did the array plus 32, and what I'm suggesting, if you do like just array plus 32, then that has to be an array. It's only if you combine it with the like type interface.
Wait a minute. Here's my confusion. Why in the heck do I want to declare an array that has to be an array for which I can only use the co or contravariant calls?
Yeah, that's a good point.
How the hell are we going to type check that?
Well, I mean, it's just like one extra condition in the subtype checker.
Right, but what it means is that what you're actually saying is this thing is in fact the intersection type of array 32, and the interface derived from array plus U32. And every time I say array plus U32, I feel a little bit stupider. But sorry about that.
That would be the
intersection type. You've made a strong concrete type demand, and you've made a strong interface demand. Well, that is an intersection type.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
But I have no idea what the right syntax is to say the interface type extracted, but you're allowed to say that all in one go, as opposed, and then you would say type readseek A is the interface of array plus A.
Yeah.
And I don't know I don't know the right way to state the interface of, because if it turns out we use the term the interface of, I will be so sad.
Can you capture this on the RFC?
Yeah. Or Paul, if you want to do it, that's fine too.
Yeah, sure. I can do that. And then there's just one other point on syntax is, do we want to use plus and minus, or do we want to use a keyword like in and out? I'm in favor of a keyword that we could make contextual, as in, like in this place, in and out lowercase is not a valid syntax. So we could say that in these places, in and out talk about variants, but you can still use them as variable names and all that.
Yeah. I think Sean is clearly right that if we make those reserved words, we have made a horrifying mistake.
I'm definitely not talking about making them reserved, but
if we made them like. But context-sensitive keywords are not the end of the world. I think that's fine.
Because I very dislike plus and minus, because I can never remember which.
So, funnily enough, I dislike both plus and minus and in and out, because I can never remember which way either of them goes.
I don't like any of them, so I'll go with any of them.
All of these options are equally useless to me. I don't know.
Hey, sorry I'm late. What RFC are we looking at?
Oh, hey, yeah. We're on 123.
Thanks.
On the other hand, like, in order to refresh my memory, I always have to go back and do the entire exercise to remind myself what contra and covariants are, right? You know, with like fruits or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know those things that stick with you and you're like, oh yeah. And then there are the things that don't stick with you.
Yeah.
Co and contravariant is one of those things that does not stick with me.
I think the technical term is human.
Well, but at the same time, like I can sit there and think through multidimensional like hypercube things in my brain, in my mind, without any problem whatsoever. But no, don't
which way co and contra go.
But don't make me remember which one is co and which one is contra, because it ain't happening.
I wish Joe was here. Joe's good at naming things. Just so saying.
My motivation between in and out is that I often think of co and contravariants as like streams in sync. And so if it's in, you're allowed to write that type or any subtype of it. And if it's out, you're allowed to read that type or any subtype. And so it's
like, allowed a minus for in and plus for out. So
That's a really good description of In-N-Out. And if they were not reserved, then sure, that sounds great. I might eventually even be able to remember that.
Cool.
Maybe. I'm not making any promises here.
Okay, let's think that that's our solution for now. That's like a reasonable.
Okay, I'll write up about all that.
All right, cool.
Awesome. Okay, so we're past the halfway point. Does anybody have anything that they would like to discuss? Okay, we're going to take that as a no. So I'm going to go to RFC 122. I believe
yes, an important one.
Yeah, like this sounds good. Nothing to say, really.
Yeah. Are we good with moving this to final comment?
Sorry, I'm just double checking a thing.
I'm just scared about all the places it's going to break the compiler, but far from that.
Break / make better.
Yeah.
So
I really like alternative two. Continue using an overly restrictive and simplistic model for viewpoint adapted capabilities.
So I do have one implementation thought on this, which I'm going to add as a note on it, is I think that when this happens, that there should be a release before this gets merged, and it should get merged, and there should be a release that is just this change.
Yeah, I agree. It's a significant type system change.
We can implement it with, like, make as a flag. So I don't know, but
I find that a little bit problematic in that we're going to have to update the standard library anyway.
Oh yeah, that's true. Because I thought like maybe we can, the implementation doesn't have to go in one go and it doesn't block release while the implementation is half ready.
True.
That's my thought.
True. But we do have to update the standard library. And it would be nice to update the standard library for as many things as we catch, right? I'm not going to say we'll necessarily catch every single thing, so that it is at least more helpful programmers when they reference the standard library to see something that does the right thing.
Yeah.
So we feel good with the, this should be the only thing that goes out in its release?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Any like major breaking change, we should probably try to do that.
Yeah, I mean, this one's wicked big. Yeah. Giving away my New England there. It's wicked big.
We can't talk about the Red Sox because last time we talked about the Red Sox, they went on a 5-game losing streak.
Fucking curse monkey, you. Curse monkey, curse monkey. Okay. Let's see. Let's go to some issues, shall we? How about some issues? Does that sound good?
I got issues.
We know you do. So yes, I'm going to go to the ones that have needs discussion during sync, right? So let's check these out. Okay. 2735. I marked that as such.
Ooh. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely some, we introduced a couple tuple related bugs on things.
Yeah.
It came in with Benoit's one you'll see there. Fixed code generation crash with variable declaration in nested tuples. Apparently, it didn't
didn't fully take.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I marked this as needs discussion before I found all this stuff and figured I'd leave it so we could go over, is there anything else on this, or is this basically?
I think that's a hilarious, beautiful, minimal example.
I couldn't figure out a way to get it any smaller, because if you take it outside of the true block, it doesn't have the problem.
No, it won't have the problem because it's not trying to eliminate the basic block.
Yeah.
So, basic block elimination is going to make LVM upset.
Yeah. Well, hopefully somebody picks this off soon. Because also then we can merge Dippin's PR to make all the examples compile. Because without this right now, HTTP example, for example, wouldn't. Okay,
so the key element there is the returning no value instead of not needed.
Can you drop a note on it? And then maybe somebody who's not Ben Wah could take it.
Yeah, doing that now.
Coolio. Your bio is very professional, Sylvan. Oh, okay. 2716. I apologize for doing the screenshot, but I thought the screenshot was a nice way to draw attention to where in the giant log file folks would need to go. I have no idea what this, I don't know enough about.
I'm sorry, which was the number again?
2716.
Oh my. MD tuple, okay.
This is most likely caused by different translation units being compiled with different visibility settings.
Arf.
I have no idea what would cause this. But I just happened to notice it while checking out something else.
But are you leaning against the system LLVM there?
It shouldn't be. No. We install LLVM 3.9.1 from Homebrew on the OS X builds.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, it's not our, we're not shipping LLVM yet. That's what I meant.
Correct.
But Homebrew shouldn't compile that and use the right linking stuff.
Yeah. But so, I mean, maybe something's changed and we're finding the, wrong LLVM, maybe?
Oh, wait. So the second symbol, it's in libpony C, but it's an LVM symbol. So it's likely something that got inlined.
Oh.
So the linking setting of our translation unit matters.
In host O. Yeah. That's interesting. Just having a quick look at host as soon as I can. So that's looking up. Sorry, looking again and again and again. It's MD tuple. In pars MD tuple, two MD tuple. So
I'm guessing MD tuple okay. Get is defined in the header. Like it's included from host.o or host.cc.
Okay, I'm having trouble at this moment because am I crazy or is MD tuple get not actually referenced from host.cc?
That's not seem to be.
Looks to me like we're using MD node get, but not MD tuple get. Am I crazy?
Well, I mean, node get could be in line and use MD tuple in its implementation.
Very, very true.
Or something like that.
Yeah, that's super true. Because the only thing I can see that would be this is extract MD node. Which is, I admit, a filthy function that is purely used internally. To host.o. Interesting. I don't have a strong. I'm not sure how much more time we should talk about this one. I think Paul's probably right, but it has to do with line 167 inlining something.
Could we get a note to that at least? For. Yeah. So at least we know, and maybe somebody could come back and look at some point.
Yep, I'll put one in.
Okay. And I'm slapping a needs investigation, and this is basically, this requires context, yeah?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. All righty. Okay. Why is this marked as needs discussion? Anything change on this? Hey, Matthias, 2408. Is this at a place where it needs? Was this at a needs discussion? It seems like you and Joe talk some more after that. It looks like we just well we left it on here for some reason. It looks like.
I'm not sure.
Stopping I8 was in the middle of a blah 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 blah. We're keeping this label on so we can discuss it next week's sync. That's from January. Okay. I don't think we have time to take this one on now. We only have 10 minutes.
Yeah. It requires digging deep.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, maybe one of these in a couple of weeks when I'm around, I'll start us with issues and we can just dig into issues that are needs discussion during sync. I feel like we got 10 minutes. I don't think there's anything which is a short thing to cover, except, well, this one probably isn't either. I need to read your thing on 2747. And see that because. Am I correct in assuming you're saying I can't send one from one actor to another?
You can, but because it's ISO, but it has ref fields. So data can be a JSON array or JSON object ref. And you cannot access them as ref, but only as tag, which is pretty useless.
Oh my God.
So you have to basically recover it down to a ref before you can actually make use of it. But so you can send it one way, and then you have to, but it's kind of clumsy.
You know, I'm going to write an RFC to pull this out of the sentence library. Somebody could make it useful without going through RFCs.
Just rip it out.
That seems to be my solution to things, doesn't it? Okay. All right. So.
Sorry, can you say the number of the last one you talked about?
2747.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2747.
There it is.
It's a PR.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay, that's why I couldn't find it.
Yeah, same for me.
So if I don't have time to read, but if I understand from what you were talking about, I think this is somewhat improved by the extracting viewpoint adaptation. Because extracting viewpoint adaptation makes the normal viewpoint adaptation more powerful. So you would get from ISO ref, you would get an ISO, if I'm correct.
That's right.
An ISO on its own is not that useful because if you alias it, you get a tag back. But you can still read vowels that are inside that ISO, which at the moment you cannot do.
Yeah. But so I did another iteration and I changed everything to ISO, like JSON array and JSON object, but it's really cumbersome to extract values from, say, an array, where the actual values are in an array, so you would need to pop them from it,
right?
To make use of them. I don't know if the new viewpoint adaptation will help.
No, it wouldn't really help.
I
don't think so.
I think the real solution is that somebody needs to write a JSON library, which is outside of the standard library, doesn't have to go through the RFC process, and we can start finding ways that it's really painful and then figure out what we have to do to make it not painful.
So I think regions also help, but I need to write that that RFC, finish it. Well, with regions, if you try to access inside an ISO, it would give you back an ISO, and the compiler would be able to automatically recover that ISO, so that, I think it improves stuff, but I'm not really sure exactly.
Okay, cool.
But we can talk more about that at some other point.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to say... Unless anybody has anything they want to go over, I'm going to say we're at an end here. That's probably a good place to pause and stop. Anybody got anything? Awesome. All right. I'm going to hit end then. Thanks, everyone.